Amen, Brother Rick. Way to get started, right? All right, everybody relax. Turn to John chapter 3. And then when you find John chapter 3, just set your Bible to the side. Or you can hold it in your hand and please stand. You won't even need your Bible this morning for the text that I'm going to be reading. Because we're going to say it all together. John 3:16. Now, everybody say it together, okay? Am I on? All right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, this morning we come to you, Lord. I pray that we can learn something about the love that you have for the world. And why you'd be willing to allow your Son to go through the ridicule and the pain that he did. And by you doing that, Lord, you made it possible for man to redeem themselves from their lost and perishing condition. And that they could have everlasting life. And Lord, today as you have empowered the church and you have commissioned the church, oh, that we would have a heart that you have for the people of this world to see that they knew Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This message today, folks, should challenge you. This message today should challenge you. If it doesn't, you need to pray to God for him to challenge yourself about your Christianity. This message today also should not only challenge you, it should also provoke you to do something. This message this morning, you may have heard several messages from John 3:16, and though I am not coming at it from an odd angle, I'm coming at it maybe from a different perspective this morning, because the title of my message this morning is, Will We? I have 4 points. I'll give you the points. Will we love the world? Will we love the world? We should love what God loves, right? For God so loved the world. Will we? Will we give them Jesus? We should be willing to give something or somebody that God has already given to the world, right? God so loved the world that he... God so loved the world that he... gave his only begotten Son. He didn't give one of many. He gave his only begotten Son. We should be willing to give the world what God gave us. But will we? But will we? Third point, will we see their lost condition? God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should what? Not perish. Do we see the lost world today floating in the lake of fire? Do we see them being cast into eternal damnation? Do we see it? I don't know whether we do or not. We should not want the lost to die and go to hell. Amen? 4 points this morning. Will we share the message of everlasting life? We should want the world to have everlasting life, but do we? Will we? Will you at work? Will you at maybe you retire? Maybe you at school? Maybe you wherever you're at during the week? Will you? Well, let's explore this morning from the perspective of will we? Now, for God so loved the world, I want you to take close thought to the first word. For. That's a conjunction if you're doing your grammar stuff, and I definitely don't want to get into that because I could blow that out of the water and really mess that up. But I know this. He put that for in there. Jesus did, because he's getting ready to present his argument. Now, he's already talked to Nicodemus. Ye must be born again, right? Or you can't see the kingdom of heaven, right?
So the context of what he's talking about, for God so loved the world, but he's making his argument. Why did God do this? He said, because God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Get your mind around that. God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he gave them one thing that they should not do. We call that a commandment or whatever, but he just said, hey, you can do anything else you want, but there's just one thing. I just don't want you to do that one thing. And sometimes some people say, well, you know, that probably wasn't too fair. Should have just put a big fence or big wall around it, and then that way they wouldn't have broke it. No, God wanted to prove mankind. If Adam and Eve could have passed that test, we'd never have sinful flesh. But they couldn't. You know why? Because we have the flesh. God give everyone, folks, the free will to choose. You today will listen to this message and the challenge. You'll either say, you know what, I don't care, I'm okay. Or this, when I say it should challenge and provoke you, you should say, yeah, I know I need to do something, but I'm not going to do anything. You have the free will this morning to choose that. That word for is conjunction. It assigns a reason or an argument. And God says up in verse number 14 of John 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. See, God didn't send Jesus to see if everybody would bow to Jesus. He knew that he was sending his Son for a trip to the cross. He says 700 years before he came in Isaiah 53, for it pleased the Lord. I can't even envision that. It pleased the Lord to place his sin upon his own Son. For him to be beaten, for him to be hung upon a cross, his blood to be shed. But yet we trample under the cross of Christ as if we deserve something from God. No, we don't. We deserve hell. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This morning, I want to share with you a few things about this love. Will we love the world? Well, this conjunction, Jesus is the Son of God, right? Jesus Christ is the Son of God, right? Amen. Okay, just don't doubt that, because you got to have that. In Vine's dictionary, their commentary on the definition of love. Now we can give a lot of different definitions. It says love can be known only from the action it prompts. See, I can tell Jenny Lee Dimitian Stump. Her dad's here, so I'll use that name this morning. I can tell her all day long that I love her. But if I do nothing to reveal that, those words are vain. They mean nothing. If you tell me that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind, and you don't read his word, You tell me that you love God because he sent his own Son here to die for your sins, but yet you serve him not. See, a lot of us say those words. But are we known by the action that it provokes or prompts us to do, showing, revealing our love for God and for his Son? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than a man that what? Lay down his life for his friend. I ask you this morning, have you considered if you love God at all? See, God made a choice. He made a deliberate, and we'll call it a divine will or a supernatural choice. He sent his Son before man ever messed up. See, God seeks to love us. whether we love him or not. And there's nothing that you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less, because God loves you already. It's in his character. It's in his nature. It's something you can't change. You can't buy it. You can't get more of it, and you can't get rid of it. Adolf Hitler, God loved him. So our love should also provoke our own action. This morning I want to ask you, will we? On VOM radio, I listened to an account this week, a man named Dan Bowman. I can't remember for sure the country that he was. He was in the Middle East, and he was a missionary in the Middle East. And he decided, of all things, to go into Iran for a 10-day vacation. Now, that doesn't sound like a vacation to me, but he was looking for ministry opportunities. In other words, he was looking for doors of opportunity to get the gospel out. But there was a problem. When he got ready to leave, they took his passport and put him in jail. Now, he tells the story. They just took his passport. They didn't accuse him of anything. They just put him in jail. And there was one man that was assigned to beat this man. One man. He was in a 2 by 3 yard cell. So 6 by 9 cell, only because he came to a country looking for gospel opportunities. And every day, the first day, he remembers going in, and this man, he didn't know who he was, began to beat him. And God specifically spoke to Dan Bowman and said, I want you to learn to love your enemies. And as he tells the story, he says, you know, Lord, that'd be a great idea, but not today. I just don't think that's going to be possible. So over the next few weeks, every day, this one man, nobody different, same man, would beat this Dan Bowman. And every day, God would continue to say, I want you to learn to love your enemies. And Dan started listening to God. And then he started praying this way. He said, God, you teach me how to love my enemies. Now, are you getting the picture here? You're in shackles. I don't know. He didn't describe how they did it. You're brought into a room and a man comes in and starts beating you. And God is telling you to love your enemies. He said, whoa, Rick, I don't know whether I could do that or not. Well, Jesus, when he's hanging on the cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You think when we sin, that God kind of says, oh, you know, they're one of my good kids. That's okay. No, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So every day, this Dan Bowman kept being spoke to about loving his enemy. And then God said, what do you think I think of that guy? And this guy, he said, God changed the subject on me. Instead of asking me to love my enemy, he said, what do you think I think of this guy? He said, that was a breaking point. Because he said, I knew that God loved that man. I knew that God loved his wife. I knew that God loved his children. Isn't that the way that we get self-centered? We have issues with people. Maybe it's the visual. Maybe it's incidental, positional. However you want to look at it. What do you think God thinks about those people that you're not even going to consider loving? And I will tell you that this Dan Bowman did go in and he did come to this guy, and he's getting ready to beat him. He said, look, he said, if I'm going to have to come in here every day and you're going to beat me, can we at least be friends? The guy said, no, we can't be friends. He was known as number 58. That's a cell, or 57, whatever the number was. He said, no, really, if I got to come in here and beat me, I want to at least, and he stuck his hand out. And that Iranian stuck his hand out. And they embraced in a handshake. And he said that Iranian grabbed his hand and squeezed really hard, and tears started running down his eyes. He said, I very much love to be your friend. Dan Bowman learned something that we all should probably learn. But I hope that we don't have to go through what he did. But maybe that's what God's speaking to you this morning. Maybe that's what God's speaking to me about this morning. Will we love the world? Will we? Second point this morning, will we give them Jesus? Will we? The commercial says the gift that keeps on giving. That's not really true, because Jesus is the only gift that keeps on giving. The gift that keeps on giving for eternity. It says over in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and other and angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. For though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. For though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Back over in John chapter 3. You know the verse by memory, but look what it says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave us a commission, folks, to spread the gospel throughout the world. You've heard me from this pulpit or from this platform, whether I'm on down there or up here, ask us, Bradley's Pleasure, how we doing at that job. And I'm guaranteeing this, that the Holy Spirit of God has convicted some people sitting here in this very auditorium this morning at other times about us doing better. I'm asking you today, will we do it? It doesn't matter whether you're a member of this church. It doesn't matter what you're, but Jesus said, I want you to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And you say, I can't do it. You don't have to. We talked last Sunday night about the power of the Holy Spirit. And tonight we're going to talk about how we obtain that understanding. See, God wants to do the work through us. Romans 5:8 says that God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, God's word said it was manifest. In this was manifested the love of God, get this, towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I mean, I don't really need to read a whole lot of verses. You've read the verses. Those are a lot of people's favorite verses, you know, different ones. God is love, all those things. But I'm asking you today, will you give them Jesus? What's it going to take to give them Jesus? Will you have to be like Dan Bowman? Will God have to bring about persecution? We talked about that Wednesday night in our study of the Trail of Blood. God usually spreads the gospel in people that are unwilling to do it through persecution. Persecution. What's persecution? When something or somebody is trying to hinder the spread of the gospel. I got a great question for you. Are we spreading the gospel that we would enough? Are we spreading the gospel enough to where we would have to worry about somebody going, shh, shh, you're saying Jesus too much? I'm your pastor, and I don't think I've said it too much. Pray for me. I'm telling you the truth, folks. See, here's the deal. This message is very, it comes down to four words, really. We know we should, but will we? See, if we've seen what God gave the world and we should be willing to do it, you know, that's the only thing that God ever paid for. I mean, God made everything, right? I mean, everything. You know, I told you about the guy that said he could make man, and God said, go for it. He come down and started grabbing some dirt, and God said, whoa, get your own dirt. I mean, man cannot duplicate what God done in creation. There's no way possible. God gave his only begotten son. We've talked about the prophecy and stuff like that. The Bible proves that God did it. It's the only thing God ever paid for. He gave his precious son. You say, yeah, but he was resurrected. Okay. You people that have children, you send your kid, let him die on a cross and see if you paid anything. You send your son and see and let him spit on him and put a crown of thorns on his head and see if you say, oh, you didn't have to pay anything. I think you'll change your mind. God gave the ultimate. I mean, Jesus had people in heaven bowing, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And God said, son, I want you to go redeem the world. And he said, I'll do it. See, the greatest action of love is giving Jesus Christ to others. But I want you to remember something. You got to have love. That's got to be your motivator. Remember, for God so loved the world. That was God's motivation. He loved the world enough to provoke him into action. He said, okay. And I mean, this happened before the foundations of the world. God said, I see a problem coming. I got it taken care of right here with my son. He didn't just go, well, let's just wait and see how it turns out. I'm here to tell you, folks, you may bypass many of your opportunities to witness to somebody by procrastinating or putting it off. Peter in chapter 3 of Acts, there was a man begging alms, probably rattling a coin in a cup. I can just picture it. And he said, what? Silver and gold have I not, but this one thing I'll give you. I'll give you Jesus Christ. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. The third thing, when we see the lost condition of the world, look at John 3:16 again. I know you memorize it. It says, He gave his only begotten son. What's the next word? That. That word, again, is part of Jesus Christ's argument. See, for God so loved the world, he had compassion on the world. He said, I'll send my son. What's the reason for that? That. He that believeth on him, what? Should not perish. A song which I probably can't quote all the words. When Brent Rosendahl came to Mount Hebron, one of them stuffy, you know, conservative Baptist church, they had stuff moved off the table, and he had a little bitty, I mean, we're talking, I don't know how many years ago, 10 or 15 years ago, and he had a little laptop, and he had some things plugged into it. You know, it probably been a contemporary song or two played at Mount Hebron, but nothing like, you know, just letting all the, just a recorded view of it. But Brandon Heath's song, Give Me Your Eyes, and I sit in about the second or third pew. He played that song and showed the video. He said, Lord, give me your eyes so I can see. And I can't even quote the rest of the song, but I can remember that, I'll say it like this, that funky looking missionary, because he was not dressed like a missionary. I mean, he, bless his heart, I love him to death, but he's just a funky looking guy. I mean, he's not ugly, just different looking. But he showed what they were doing and then stood up and said what he wanted to do and what he had been doing. And I got a vision that I never had before. And I'll never forget that song. Lord, give me your eyes so I can see. See as the Lord God in heaven sees, folks. Don't look with your eyes. Your eyes and my eyes have sinful thoughts. Our eyes have negative connotations going through them. But will you look upon a lost and dying world as you're sitting at the stoplight tomorrow and you look over and you see that guy got his radio turned up, maybe he's got tattoos, maybe whatever. Or maybe he's got a tie and you think he's like prideful. I mean, it's whatever your thing is. Will you just consider, Lord, you reckon he's got a soul? The answer would be what? Lord, you reckon he knows Jesus Christ as his Savior? I don't know. Maybe you're at work and you're seeing someone at their desk or something. Will you look at them as a lost person or just another person? I told you the story, and I know it to, I don't know it to be true, but I take it to be true that a lady worked next to this other lady. This one lady was a Christian, and she worked next to this lady for like 15 years. A new employee come in, and she was a Christian, and she got to know this other lady, and wasn't too long after that, she said, well, she told the lady that worked there with her, she said, you know what? I got saved the other day. Well, that's great. I've been praying for you. And she said, you're a Christian? 15 years she'd worked next to this lady, right next to her. She had never, ever said anything about Jesus Christ. I used to be one of them kind of Christians. Sometimes I still am. You say, preacher, you shouldn't tell that. It's the truth. Would you tell the truth about your witness to the world today? You say, I want to be better. I can tell you how you can get it. Let God show you what he sees. And you might do something. Last thing this morning. Will we share the message of everlasting life? Now I want you to consider our motivation. What's our motivation? Love. What's God's motivation? Love. What's God wanting to give the world? Jesus Christ. Are you willing to give the world Jesus Christ? So I'm not sure they need it. Would you let God give you a vision? Would you let God give our church, Bradley's Pleasure, a vision? And I may be wrong, but I'm just guessing. If you're anything like me, you say, well, Brother Rick, we've tried stuff and it just don't work. We've done this. We've done that. And it just doesn't seem to work. Is that what God would say? I'll just give up. Is that right? Would you just say, well, the preacher can do it. I'll let him go do this. I'll let him go do the vision. I'll let him do the prayerful consideration of a program. Folks, it's not about a program. It's about loving people so much that it provokes you to do something. See, here's the thing. God so loved the world that he had to do something. If you so love the Lord thy God, you should be provoked to do something. You may not know what it is right now. But if you're willing and desiring people this morning to get saved, you say, I want to make a difference. And you love the Lord enough, it'll push you into something. It'll even push you to be the VBS director, and you ain't never done nothing like that before. It'll push you to teach a Sunday school class, and you've never taught a Sunday school class before. It'll push you to walk down the aisle and say, Lord, I want to proclaim your word, when you know you can't do it. That's my story. But it first had to begin with love. It won't get there if you ain't got the love for it. This morning, where's your love at? Let's all stand. Let's have a word of prayer. Your opportunity right here in the invitation is to respond. If you're a visitor, feel welcome to come to the altar. It doesn't matter. Folks, if God's people in America today don't get a hold of love for the lost soul, we're going to lose our country. Did you hear me? We're going to lose our country. We got too many statistics that are telling us that. Let's pray. Father, I put this invitation in your hands. You know my desire, and you've heard my prayer. Pray your spirit to work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.